You are Locked On Utes, your daily podcast on the Utah Utes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Happy middle day of the week, Utah fans. A little bit stumbly there. Maybe somebody is all ready for Thanksgiving. I don't know. Hard to say, really, at this point. What is up? What is down? Left or right? We don't know. All we know is that if it's a middle of the week, that means that you are making Locked On Utes your first listen, as you do every single day, and we love that. We also love that you follow us because we are free and available on every platform. Got the update on YouTube. We're waiting for graphics. So pretty soon, you're going to get to see a graphic of Locked On Utes and hear my voice on YouTube. Very exciting. Yes. Fortunately, Wednesdays, you know, right before Thanksgiving, everybody's kind of taking a beat, taking a breath. So we're going to get real relaxed here on the podcast today. No, we're not. Because Sammazing Sammy Mora is joining us today. The Sammazement is real. Sammy, how are you?
I'm fantastic. You know, you got me wanting to make that like fake air horn noise. The like
the rap air horn?
Yeah. That's in like every rap song. Yeah, you got me that. I'm great, you know. Ready for Thanksgiving, ready to have a little bit of downtime, and to just veg out and sit on my couch and watch football like I usually do on Saturdays and Sundays, but like the rest of the world is also going to be doing it, but it's on like a weekday. So it's like a little bit more socially acceptable.
I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to find a rap air horn right now that we could. I used to have an app that would do it.
Don't make me cough. Yeah. Don't make me laugh right now.
Sorry. My bad. Yeah, I used to have an app that would do it, but not
I
anymore.
Feel like that's a very early 2000s like thing.
Whoa, there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, there's not, but everyone dunks on me for how young I am, so I'm going to dunk on that.
That's not it.
That's not it. But yeah, you know, it's a little bit socially acceptable to veg out on my... There it is.
That was it? Just plays one?
If you didn't know, that's what I was thinking of.
We are like 3 minutes into this podcast, and I'm sure everybody's like, what are they even going to talk about today? Listen, we're going to talk about Utah football, I promise. And that's a very important part about it. But when Sammy's on, we like to have fun. We like to get after it. And my bad for not being better prepared with the sound effects, so I apologize to everybody.
I came out of left field with that one, so I apologize too.
But I'm the producer. I'm supposed to be prepared for that. That's the biggest problem.
We didn't get you a soundboard.
Yes.
So that you can just like...
Yes.
All of the best podcasters have soundboards. You can just...
Maybe we should do like a GoFundMe or something like that for a soundboard for me.
Yeah, everyone start it. Let's get Brian a soundboard for Christmas.
Yeah, that's the Brown Bear Christmas GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Because I'm an adult and can't pay for my own things that cost money.
I mean, same. Big same.
Yeah. But let's talk about people who are actually handling their business for once. And by that, I mean the University of Utah football game. I wanted to get your thoughts. You were at the Oregon game, correct?
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm the only person in the world that didn't make it to the game. Normally I have a bright disposition and stay positive. This is going to hurt me forever. I don't know that I'll get around it. I'll get through it, but I don't know if I'll ever get over it. Just give me your basic thoughts on what you saw from the, you know, in the game and kind of your overall takeaway from the performance.
You know, to call it a beatdown would be putting it lightly. You know, Utah just came out guns a-blazing and just kind of laid it to Oregon. It was so much fun to be around. Like, I've had my fair share of days sitting in the press box, but there's nothing that beats like sitting in the stands with the fans while this is all going down. I was literally talking to Cole Bagley about this today on Britton Covey's like touchdown return. I was losing my mind. My mom and I were like holding onto each other and like jumping up and down. Everyone in my section was cheering. And then Cole was like, I was sitting in the press box, like silently trying not to lose my mind because it's a working press box. So you're not allowed to cheer. Not allowed to make noise.
Thanks, so, Jason Shear.
Yeah, shout out to him.
Shout out to that guy.
Yeah, shout out to him. You know,
You were there for that one, weren't you, in Arizona?
No, I wasn't. That was one of the two games I didn't travel to in 2019. Was that Arizona game? It was Arizona and Oregon State were the two games I didn't go to for Karani. But I heard all the stories about it. But it was so much fun. Honestly, like, I'm also, like, I like to watch people. So, like, during, like, commercial breaks and stuff, like, I was watching the Oregon Duck. He was having a great time. Not really, but he was funny, at least. That got me going. I was fully impressed about all three phases of the game. I wrote about it on UTZone in my Three Keys to Victory piece that came out after the game. That was probably the most complete game we've seen. The defense was on fire. The offense was firing on all cylinders. And to the relief of every single Utah fan, we did not have a blocked punt.
Not a one. In fact, it was interesting as I went through social media after the game and kind of was searching. Somebody said, is Kyle Whittingham the new Frank Beamer and that he's a special teams genius? And I was just like, oh, if you only knew, Ferrer, sir, watching the game for the first time. Couple notes. It was the highest rated Pac-12 game, I believe, in 7 years, if I'm not mistaken. It won the night, which is a big deal when it comes to shares and ratings. It was a really, really positive effort overall. I think anytime you get, I don't have measurements for interaction and things of that nature, but Utah had to have had a massive amount of social media spread with that. And it just, yeah, so 4.8 million viewers on ABC. It was the most viewed Pac-12 regular season conference game since 2014. Helped ABC win the night in primetime among all networks, which is always a big deal. ABC, ESPN, top two networks in primetime among all key male adult demos for three straight weeks. ABC averaged 4.5 million viewers Saturday, the fourth best day of the season. That's up 81% from 2019. So a big, it was just a big weekend overall. I think both in the stadium, people watching. I think the Covey punt return is likely one of those moments that people are going to talk about for forever.
Yeah.
I talked about this with Cindy Robinson, who hosts the Locked On Pac-12 podcast. And, you know, it's Utah is building this brand of kind of being this team in the Pac-12 that is just the most consistent, solid, reliable team in the country. And every time we have this perception as Utah fans that, like, Utah drops the ball in these big games. But for the most part, when they're in those big moments and on the big stage, they really do come through. And I think people just remember that these Utah teams are tough, they're competitive, they do well in big games, and they play good defense and physical. And that was, like you said, all on display throughout the game on Saturday. Did you have a player of the game?
Oh, my gosh. Actually, yeah, I literally texted you about it during the game.
That's right. You did.
I called it last week. I said Britton Covey was due for a breakout game.
You did.
And did he in fact have a breakout game? Yes, he did. I was so happy for Britt to have that punt return. It was amazing. It was magical. And also shout out to that punt return unit, because there were some really key blocks that if they aren't set, Britton doesn't make it to the end zone.
Kamoi Latu, especially. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Both of us, same track right there going with him. He had two huge ones. And I think Britton even talked about that earlier this week or at media availability on Monday. He said, like, without those blocks, he wouldn't have gotten the touchdown, and that it should be special teams unit of the week and not special teams player, because they went for a block. They were going for a block. So when he got those four Oregon dudes on him, there was no blockers back there for him. Like, he just, out of sheer speed and talent, juked four of those guys to the ground.
The problem was that Oregon muffed the return, right? So they tried to go directional with it, but the coverage team just completely failed. And I think it's fascinating to me that there are still teams that are underestimating Britton Covey's ability to get around the corner or get by guys. I think he's taken a special interest in punt returns this year. And really, if you watch him after games, he's going over, he's talking to one of the special teams coaches. They're talking through the punt returns and everything like that. He's really putting a lot of effort into it. And I think it was on either the broadcast or something else somewhere else that I heard that his emphasis on this is because he believes that he can make an NFL team as a punt returner. At one point in time, Todd McShay thought he was going to be a breakout slot player if he was going to go to the NFL. Injuries caught up with him at that point. Mm-hmm. I think at this point in this age, he probably is, you know, unlikely to make it as a slot receiver. But as a punt returner, I do think there's a possibility. And if he can just get into a camp and show some things, I think there's a lot more to him and a lot of reason. I mean, look, if Taysom Hill can get as many extensions from Sean Payton, all you need is just one coach to love you and buy in.
Yeah.
And you're there. So his numbers from the game, 3 catches, 36 yards, long of 17, average of 12, had one carry for 6 yards, and obviously the punt return for the big touchdown. That was, in my estimation, the ceiling moment of the game. It was over after that. Oregon never really recovered. But we were talking about how this was a complete total team effort. Give me your thoughts on the defense and what the defense did.
The two people that stick out in my mind the most, actually three, are Devin Lloyd, Cole Bishop, and Junior Tafuna. Those three, especially Devin and Cole, were flying all over the place. It was so much fun to watch. I'm really, 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 really loving Cole Bishop right now. And the fact that he's only a freshman is like even more enticing to me, because it's like, if this is him as a freshman, what's it going to be like when he's been in this program for 4 years? What's his ceiling looking like? And then Devin was just Devin, you know, that hit where he just decapitated dive, just like, you could hear that in like Clearfield, like it was so loud, and it was, the entire stadium was just like, oh, what it happened. Chef's kiss. Beautiful from Devin. And then Junior just getting back there and getting Brown, which was something also we talked about, is that they focused on the dual threat nature of Brown. And they literally shut him down so hard.
The surprising part about it to me is just how effective they were in shutting down Oregon's run game. And early on, it looked like it was working, you know, the midline run game, which midline, what it is you let the nose guard go unblocked, you open up that middle lane, and you let the quarterback read the nose. And I thought, at least it looked like midline to me, and I probably should go back and watch it. But when the quarterback reads that and gives, they were creating some lanes, and then all of a sudden it just disappeared, and it was the strangest thing ever. And then Oregon got behind, and they tried to throw the ball, which that was never going to work because they were missing two big receivers, and I just, you know.
Pocket never held up.
It didn't.
And also, if it did hold up, Brown wasn't sitting in it long enough. He was fleeing and mm-hmm. trying to make something more. I will say that touchdown that they did score was just busted coverage by Clark.
Yeah.
Like, he got exposed on that play.
He got put a little bit in no man's land there with the route tree, mm-hmm. and listen, when you're running cover three, there are coverage beaters, and Oregon caught him in a coverage beater, right?
They did,
like, if
yeah.
you run those two vertical routes and one guy's that, you know, they're both in the same area and you have to pick, the other guy's cutting down and the other guy's going longer, and Clark has to guess and he's watching the quarterback's eyes, like, it's a really tough decision to make. So yeah, busted coverage, but also, like, kudos to the Ducks. I always thought that Joe Moorhead he's a great play caller, and I was super nervous about that. Utah just didn't care, and it was a spectacular effort. I mean, there were a lot of guys that you can highlight. I have to call him Cole Bagley Bishop and then Cole Bishop Bagley, because there are two Coles that came into my life this year and I always get them mixed up, even though I know which one is which. Cole Bishop makes tackles, Cole Bagley writes words. But
we also have Cole Fotheringham, who does the blocking.
Yeah, Heavenly Fotheringham, Ham Daddy. I found out tonight he's only had one haircut since he got home from his mission.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not surprised. He also has the most beautiful hair.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by it either. But I'm that, as someone who gets her hair cut regularly, like every 8 weeks, to have not have your hair cut for like years, that, I can't do that.
Utah, Cole Bishop led the team in tackles with solo, 7 total tackles. Devontae Davis, who I thought during the game, I said that he was not going to show up in the stat sheet much, but he was playing a really good game. He actually did show up. It was 7 total tackles. 6 of those were solo. He's been much improved this year. It was clear that Junior Tafuna had a good night. I thought Mika Tafua was fantastic, the way that he pressured the pocket. And Anthony Brown just could never recover. Steve Bartle talked about the number of hurries and the amount of pressure that Utah put on the pocket. And it was just absurd. This was a defensive victory, in my opinion. This was the first time that we really saw the defense just go and shut a team out. I think they've been invigorated by the confidence that the offense is playing with. And they feel like they don't have to go out and do stuff. And so they're playing free and playing well. It was just a tremendous effort. I just, you know, this has been an amazing season in a lot of stretches and a lot of ways. But I think this game was just really the capper. I want to talk to you a little bit about what you heard at practice this week. Only one day of real true availability because of the shortened week. And obviously they're going to give players some time on Thanksgiving. I always liked practicing on Thanksgiving, actually, like, because your practice is a little bit slower and then you go eat.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Sammy, we have to talk about your favorite daily fantasy app and mine, Prize Picks. We've talked about it before.
We have.
It is daily fantasy made easy. And as you well know, they're a leader in college sports fantasy. They have more college football props than anyone in the world. Does that appeal to you that all the props are there?
Yes.
100%, right?
Yes. As someone who watches just lots and lots and lots of football across all sorts of leagues, like, yes.
When I think of Sammy Mora, I think of you sitting in a Vegas sports book, chain smoking, and just holding lots of tickets for all the prop bets that you...
Give me the money.
But the best part about it,
pick six.
And we've talked about Vegas before, and neither of us like really love Vegas. The best part about Prize Picks is you don't even have to go to Vegas because you can pull the app on your phone. It's in the Apple App Store. It's on Google Play. It's an award winner. It's easy to download. When you download it, you can pick any of the props that you like. You just select 2 to 5 players and choose the over-under on their projections. You can run up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Sammy, would you rather play numbers, or would you rather play people?
Depends.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
It depends. Like, my family has a fantasy football league. That's fun.
Yeah.
Because then at Christmas dinner, I can be like, well, I laid 117 points on you.
Mm.
But then if I just want to get better as, like, a fantasy player... In those family situations, betting against numbers is very beneficial.
Perfect. And that's exactly what you want to do with Daily Fantasies. You just want to play against those numbers and get better there. And the best part about it is if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can match your deposit up to $100 in free credits. That's up to $100 in free play just by using the promo code LOCKEDON. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com. Choose one of Sammy's favorite players, Ariza, the punter from San Diego State.
Oh, my. Yes.
There you go. So you and Steve Bartle, same page. You know, I'll go with Carson Strong this week. It's an easy one for me. Or Bailey Zappe from Western Kentucky, the touchdown machine. Or you could go Tavion Thomas, who's now the single season rushing touchdown leader at the University of Utah, which is just absurd. But go ahead and check out prizepicks.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Utah fans, we know that you like it when your team gets it done. And that's why today I wanted to talk to you about InterCap, because InterCap gets deals done. There is a reason that no lender helps more families in Utah with their mortgage needs. It is the quick and simple process that InterCap uses to close loans 2 weeks faster than the industry average. And though fast is great, the ultimate goal is to create a stress-free home loan process. And that is what Locked On Utes personal loan officer Steve Carter has delivered to hundreds of Locked On listeners so far, including network founder David Locke. And you know that if Steve Carter can close a loan for David Locke and do it on time and do it fast and stress-free, that he can do it for anybody. InterCap is new to the Locked On Utes podcast, but it is not new. They've been around assisting customers with all their mortgage needs since 1978. That's over 43 years of experience, and Steve Carter has been providing our Locked On listeners with the best experience since 2018. InterCap is headquartered here in Utah, but licensed to help with all your mortgage needs in 40 different states. Give Steve a call. His direct number is 385-800-8528. You will not find a more responsive loan officer. Again, that number is 385-800-8528. Give Steve Carter a call. Tell him that you heard about him on Locked On Utes podcast. Steve Carter with InterCap Lending. That number one last time, 385-800-8528. That's InterCap Lending, NMLS number 190465. Welcome back to the Locked On Utes podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you make us your first listen every single day. Thank you so much for doing so, because we are free and available on all platforms. And we are able to have Sammy Mora on the show because of that very reason, because you're all following us and making us relevant. We appreciate you very much. Sammy, I think we've had some fun today, but it's time to get down to the serious stuff without a doubt. Please tell me what happened when Cam Rising was asked about stuffing.
Okay, Steve Bartle got really excited, first and foremost. Like, everyone saw his tweet about it. But I responded to Steve's tweet with my controversial hot take, which is that I don't like stuffing. And everyone started harassing me on the Twitter, which is fine, because that is a food take I will stand by. If someone can provide me with some tasty stuffing, I will try it. But until
challenge
then,
accepted, by the way, because Mama Brown makes the best stuffing on the planet, and I stand by that. Okay. So we will put that one to the test. It has sausage in it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Big part of it. A little rye bread in there. So, ooh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is it that you don't like about stuffing, though?
It's just kind of bland. Maybe it's because, like, my entire life, like, other than, like, I think one year my grandma made homemade stuffing, but the rest of my life, like, the only person in my family who eats it is my dad.
Also, we need to point out the fact that your family eats incredibly tasty food.
Yeah, no. Growing up in an Italian, Mexican, African-American white household, we eat a lot of really good food.
Yeah, so, like, stuffing being a little bland kind of makes sense when you look at that perspective. I'm trying to stand up for you because you're so wrong on this. However, what I do want to ask you is, if it's not stuffing, and Cam Rising, Steve Bartle, and I are all on the same page, it's fine. What is the best side dish for Thanksgiving?
Ooh. So, I don't know, because my family does a lot of non-traditional, like, Thanksgiving side dishes.
That's fine. This is an open forum, and there's probably people out there who need the suggestions, to be honest with you.
We do baked asparagus with Parmesan and bacon.
Okay, good choice.
That's one of my favorites. And then my grandma has this recipe for a shrimp rice salad. It sounds kind of gross, but it's like white rice with, like, this, like, dressing that's, like, mustard and like, relish and stuff. And it has little mini shrimps in it. And I grew up eating that my entire life. So, like, that's on there for me. And then I'm the only person in my house who likes candied yams. So I got to go with the candied yams.
I think we've gotten a really good introduction to why maybe stuffing isn't top of your list. Stuffing aside, what was the mood up at practice availability? Because we kind of talked a little bit before, and it sounds like Utah's kind of in a certain attitude right now.
They're in a very relaxed, chill attitude, which I think is something that you should see as, like, a good sign. Because this is my personal philosophy, is that when a team starts taking themselves a little bit too seriously, that's when things can go awry. And I think that's something this team hasn't done all season. They've been very much one game at a time mentality. Want to know every single week. And it's paid off, with the exception of, like, three games a season. Everyone has been in that 1-0 mentality. And, like, of course, a lot of people ask, like, the Thanksgiving questions, because, like, it's a little, like, softball question to kind of ease into things and, like, get to know these players as people. But overall, it's like a good environment. Like, it's not like everyone's overlooking Colorado. Everyone, I think, is locked in, ready to go. Just because they did clinch the Pac-12 South, like, they're not satisfied. And they need to go in and still beat Colorado to assert some dominance and to show, like, what they actually are. Because Colorado, like, Britton Covey even told us at media, Colorado's not a team to take lightly. Like, they could beat anyone at any given time. He's like, look at that Texas A&M game. Like, they hung with Texas A&M for that entire time. I think the final score was like 7-3 in that game. Like, it was an oddly low scoring game. And then that Texas A&M team went on to beat Bama. That just, I think, shows like the crazy wild nature of college football, is like how like one game can be 10-3 and you barely escape away. But the next time you're like upsetting a team who hasn't lost in years.
It's really true. I think a lot of that too is just in the early season. Texas A&M had just lost their starting quarterback, so they were trying to introduce a backup. And Colorado had still really started to establish themselves with the run game. Nobody had tried to press Brendan Lewis until that point to make him throw. And so there is some validity to that. I don't think Colorado's a slouch. I know that Stats Award dropped his piece, and Utah's 93 or 94% favorite to win the game. Colorado, 127th ranked rush defense. Say what you will. The Buffaloes did upset Oregon State at home in overtime. This is going to be at home at Rice-Eccles. But I think more so what you're talking about with the attitude is that this is a team that's just, they're tired of the BS, right? They don't want to do media stuff. They don't want to do all this stuff. Like, they're there, they're present, they're taking care of it because they know they need to. This is a team that wants to finish the job that they're started on, right? Like, I think the mission and their goals and what they're headed for is just exactly what they want, and I think that's really impressive in a lot of respects. That being said, it seems like we kind of get the same voices every single week. Did Britton Covey come out with anything surprising? Did he mention the fact that he and I bumped into each other as he was going to yoga?
No, he didn't, but now I'm like oddly intrigued in that story. They did. Someone brought up the fact that they asked him his freshman year what he does for Thanksgiving. And he talked about how like he goes to get his family goes to the Little America and gets crab legs because his like great, great grandfather like started the Little America. I know that's not really pertinent to like football talk, but like I was sitting there and I was like, crab legs. I was like, that he's like, is that not normal for Thanksgiving? I was like, in what world, sir? Is that normal for Thanksgiving? Crab legs? I haven't had a good crab leg in years.
I'm going to go out on a ledge here and say in the world of 7 Habits of Highly Effective People that it probably does happen from time to time.
It adds up. It checks out and it adds up. But at the same time, I'm like, at what cost? But, you know, it's just kind of, it was just like a typical media day with Britton. He did say that was that game, his punt return, was probably one of the loudest times he's ever heard Rice-Eccles, which like adds up because there was a lot more people in there than there was for the other two moments he talked about. He talked about Booby Hobbs's pass breakup versus Cal and Jason Shelley's touchdown against BYU. Like his game ceiling one where he just like outran like four dudes. So I think that's a good point, is because like, you know, everyone was talking about like stadium expansion and like how Utah fans don't like show up on time at games. But I will say everyone was in their seats prior to kickoff this week. And it was really nice to see.
It was and well deserved for the University of Utah, without a doubt. What was the overall, I mean, we kind of said that they're taking Colorado seriously and everything like that. What was the, so tell the Furlong story, I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
So we're talking to Cam Rising and Josh Furlong, our good dear friend, Josh Furlong of KSL, like asked Cam, he's like, so with a lot of juniors, like, thinking about this is going to be their last game. Like, is there anything that you guys were thinking about in that term? And Cam looked him dead in the eyes and was like, we're just focused on winning football games. And Furlong's face was like, oh, okay. Well, must see myself out then. But like that, I think shows like the mental state of this team after everything they've been through this last year, that they're just, they're, it's football. They want to win football. They've gotten to this point. You don't give up because you've gotten this far.
And it's, I think this is the difference in teams in years past. One, your quarterback, Cam Rising, is the clear leader, and I think he really does establish the message. And for him to be so strong in that, it's not just – he is not a guy that is very defiant and very – like I don't want to say rude, but very in-your-face in terms of like his interview questions and answers. He's usually very jovial and open and everything like that. It's clear that it's either under his skin or he's just not having it, right? Yep. And I think that's what you want to see from your leadership. If you're projecting this game, how do you think it's going to go?
You know, I want to see Utah come out fast and furious like they have in ever since Cam basically took over. Like, come out fast, come out hard, and just put the pedal to the metal. I personally want to see the second string in after halftime or even after the third quarter. I want to see Jaquindon Jackson in at quarterback. I want to see resting starters getting them, like not risking them with the Pac-12 championship game coming up. Covey talked about them stacking the box, Colorado stacking the box, which, you know, that with Utah's offense is very much a two-headed monster or three-headed monster, honestly, in my opinion. You have the rush game with Tavion Thomas leading the helm. You have the pass game, which you can go wide receiver targets or you can go tight end targets. And then you, like, the third head is Cam Rising himself. Because if he doesn't feel comfortable in the situation he is, he will run it. He outran Kayvon Thibodeau. I was scared for my life when he started to outrun Kayvon Thibodeau, but he did it. And he got out of bounds. He didn't take a hit. And so that's a three-headed monster. So if they stack the box, you're going to have to take your pick your poison. Do you want to have Utah rushing it down your throat, or do you want to have Utah throwing it down your throat?
I think this is going to be a very vanilla effort from Utah, not in terms of like effort or anything like that. I think that they're going to go out and they're going to play for their seniors. They're going to play for the guys who haven't had an opportunity to play very much. But you're going to see Utah try and just play their game like they always have. I think you're going to see the opposite of what happened at Arizona. You're not going to see a lot of lag. You're going to see Utah to try and go out and finish this one early. Now, whether they're able to or not, I think it depends a lot on just what happens, how you take care of the ball. Ball security is going to be a key component of this one, and they've been extremely good at that, which has allowed the defense to operate without turning over the ball a ton. You know, they're not doing so great in terms of turnovers caused or turnovers created, which is okay because they're not turning the ball over. Like, Cam Rising has been incredibly good with that. And I hope I'm not just putting the jinx on it. I can't because I just reverse jinx myself. So we're good.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think that's, you know, it's just, you know, they're going to go out, they're going to execute, they're going to play hard. I don't think you're going to see anything new or spectacular or anything like that, unless they feel like they need to go put something out there for Oregon or whoever it is that they're going to be playing in the Pac-12 championship game to watch. Utah's not done a ton of that in the past. So I'm going to go ahead and say that that's likely not it. In fact, it's wild. Utah's only created 12 turnovers this year.
That feels really low.
It does.
I want to see some more interceptions. Like, this secondary has been so close so many times in the last few weeks to getting those turnovers, but the balls have just slipped through their hands. Like, they've hit the ground. Like, there's just so many components haven't happened with the secondary. I lost my train of thought.
You're good. Real quick, Utah is their opponent third down conversions at 37%. That's second in the conference, and so I think that's really where they're creating turnovers, right? Is they're forcing teams to give them the ball back, and then Utah's offense is taking these drives down the field And so it's weird because they're not like super explosive, but they're doing enough to get the ball back to where the offense is being efficient, and it's working. It's a very safe, manageable game plan. I think that's why, in my opinion, this isn't going to be a super, super close game. I also don't think it's going to be a huge blowout. I think the line at 24 is maybe a little high. I usually go conservative with my predictions anyways, though. This could be an absolute fun fest, and the University of Utah could go out and play with their hair on fire and just try to lay it all out there, knowing that they have an extra day to rest and that they're good. Well, I guess not, because they, well, depends on who they play, right?
Yeah.
The Saturday stuff. But yeah, I don't think... I would be really surprised if we saw a game like Utah played against Arizona. You know what I mean?
I don't think we're going to see that either, because I think the reason that we saw what we saw against Arizona was because the team was focused on Oregon. As much as they don't want to admit it, I think that's low-key what was going on. Because you can't tell me that you are thinking about having having a date with the number three team in the country. And that you're thinking about having under the lights at Rice-Eccles, your game's on a 6-day hold consideration for TV. You're thinking about that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's going to benefit Utah this week, is because they don't know who they're going to be playing next week.
The other thing too, and we've kind of buried the lead, because I think sometimes when teams play bad games, you just want to focus on the fact that that's not an acceptable effort. They really only played a bad quarter, you know, in the first quarter, right? And maybe bad two quarters, if you want to get real nitpicky. After the game, it was pretty much done for. Outside of the one blocked punt. Like, if you take away the blocked punt, that's still a pretty respectable game, albeit that left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And I didn't feel good after watching that game. I felt a lot better after watching Oregon. Do you have a score prediction? Do you want to give a score prediction?
I'm so bad at this, score predictions. I'm so bad. We used to do this for Chronicle like every week, and I was in charge of it. I think I won maybe zero games because I'm so bad at this. I either wildly overpick one team and then severely underpick the other team. But I would be surprised if Colorado comes away with a touchdown. I think it's after the starters are out, if it gets to that point. Because I just see Utah's rush defense has finally hit its stride. And their running back, whose name escapes me right now.
Jared Broussard?
Yeah. He's good, but, you know, if you can contain Dye, or if you can contain Charbonnet, or, like, someone like that. Like, Baylor, yes, was an off night. But if you can contain good running backs in the Pac-12, I think that they're a non-factor. And then Brandon Lewis, like, Chenault hit the portal today. Like, one of his better receivers is gone. Like, I think...
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign for the state of the program. And, you know, my heart is telling me, like, 3-40 or something like that. But then, realistically, I know it's probably going to be, like, 10-32 or something like that. Something weird.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be like a safety or something.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good prediction. We'll go with that. So, reminder, if you're going to do Skittle hunting, I guess, on this game, there's only one place to go to do it, and that's betonline.ag. They have a new web interface for the start of basketball season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Maybe they'll have a prop on there that a safety will be scored, and we'll call that the Sammy Slam of the week, courtesy of betonline.ag. But they remain your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season, so go to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just enter that promo code. You'll receive your bonus right then and there. You can go put all the money down on the Sammy Slam. She's going to win you lots of money. If she loses you money and anybody says anything to her, I will angrily tweet at you.
I'll also angrily tweet at you because...
No coming back at Sammy for the Sammy Slam. This is a choose-it-at-your-own-will situation. But the good news is, from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your Vegas casino games, you don't have to wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available currently at betonline.ag, because it is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Usually when we hit the midway point on the Locked On Utes podcast, we like to take a breath, relax a little bit, and refuel. The only way to do that here on the Locked On Podcast Network is with a Built Bar. If you haven't tried one by now, I don't know what you're waiting on. Maybe a personal invitation from me. Maybe we need to go sit on a bench somewhere, try one together, talk it out, explain to you why it's so good to eat a Built Bar. Not just the flavors. There's 9 of them. 9 different flavors, all sorts of varieties, anything from coconut almond to mint brownie to cherry barcia. There's also new flavors all the time. There's the puff bars that I so enjoy, like eating a chocolate-coated marshmallow. But the real thing is, with a Built Bar, you're getting nutritious whey protein in that. Under 140 calories for most bars, up to 17 grams of protein, 5 grams of sugar or less, real chocolate in every bite. There are so many different flavors that come out all the time. Currently vanilla cream on the website. There's a couple different puffs varieties on there. You can go to built.com every single week and they have new flavors all the time. Protein balls, fruity cereal, the secret flavor. Kind of tastes a little bit like a Fruit Loop. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your purchase on anything on the site. Again, that's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Use that promo code at built.com. It's the best promo code on the internet, bar none. And go get yourself some of the best tasting protein bars on the planet at built.com. All right, wrapping things up on a Wednesday episode of the Locked On Utes podcast with my good friend, Sammy Mora. Sam Amazing Mora. Sammy the Aardvark Mora.
I thought we got rid of the aardvark.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I thought we threw that one in the recycling bin. Yeah, that one was like a
click, click, double, delete, delete, gone forever. There was some news on Wednesday, and Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday.
There was a lot of news on Tuesday, actually.
It was a roller coaster.
Yeah. Boston Holt tore his ACL for the basketball team. It's still early in the season, but he had he was a player that was starting to show some things and could have been a contributor. I think it's okay that Utah can overcome this one, Utah basketball, that is. They still have a long way to go, and there is some depth on that roster without a doubt. The bigger news, I think, is Peter Castelli entering in the transfer portal. I wasn't really on much. I shared my opinion on social media. I couldn't really gauge the temperature of it, but to me, this isn't it's a bit of a surprise, mostly because I really like Peter, but it's also not a surprise given what's happening at the university right now. Sammy, what did you think when you heard about the news?
Because today was a roller coaster for Utah fans, which we'll touch on that in a minute. But I'm not shocked. I understand, he wants to go have an opportunity somewhere else, because you got to see he's got to see the writing on the wall to a certain extent. Because it's Cam Rising's team next year. It's Cam Rising's team for however long he wants to be at Utah. And then behind that, you have Jaquindon Jackson, who was on scout team this week playing Anthony Brown and won scout team player of the week because of how good he was. And then you have 2 quarterback commits coming in this class, in Brandon Rose and Nate Johnson. Nate more than Brandon, but Nate has been so vocal on Twitter about the state of this program and recruiting other guys to come play with him, that I think you kind of see what's going on. And I love Peter and I love his game, but seeing the trajectory of how Utah football and the Utah offense is evolving, I don't think that he would have had a great amount of success in this system, but that's just me.
So here's the thing, the evaluation on Castelli, he's an incredible athlete. I think there's a lot of tools there. I think anybody who watched the spring game could see that, he had some tools, but there was still a lot of work to be done. And unfortunately, at that position, if you have NFL aspirations, you can, but it's really, really hard to just sit somewhere and not get reps. The other part that I think factored into this with Peter, especially, is that he missed his senior year of football. So he really hasn't taken live game reps in a long, long time. And so I think he does need to go somewhere and compete. I think he does need to go somewhere where he's not going to have possibly four or five guys that are coming in and or in the program already. And here's the thing, like, he was fourth on the depth chart. Bryson Barnes was ahead of him. That's a walk-on from a small town in Utah that they call country because he used to chase pigs. That he was a pig farmer. He's also a really good quarterback. I don't know if he's Drew Lisk level yet, but I think he does have that capability. If you watch the games closely, he's always talking to Cam Rising. He's always in the air. He's always on the sideline. He's got the jersey. So the coaching staff clearly trusts him and believes that he knows what he's talking about. So all that being said, that's a lot of competition for Castelli. And like you said, Nate Johnson, Brandon Rose, two very active players in recruiting other players to come to Utah with them. Brandon Rose is an incredibly confident kid, and you just never know what's going to happen as a quarterback. So it's the right move for Peter Castelli. It's also not the worst scenario for Utah, right? Because now they get an initial, they get a scholarship back, they're not carrying six quarterbacks. And look, you always want to have some quarterbacks on the roster, but they're not really in dire need with as many as they're going to have next year. They're going to have four quarterbacks in Cam Rising, Jaquindon Jackson, Nate Johnson, Brandon Rose, and then the fifth in Bryson Barnes. That's a lot of QBs.
And four or five, a couple years ago, if you would have said like, oh, quarterback's transferring from Utah, like the sky is falling. This, like, everything is not going well. We're losing a quarterback. What is wrong with the program? What is wrong with everything if a quarterback is deciding to transfer out? But now there's a possibility of having five quarterbacks on roster next year alone. That's something that Utah hasn't had the luxury of in a while. And I think you got to do what's best for you. You got to do what's best for your career. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up at some like G5 in California.
It wouldn't be the worst situation for him either. I think we're seeing that more and more that Josh Allen from Fresno State, Jake Haner is going to do it. Or Josh Allen from Wyoming, Jake Haner from Fresno State is having a much better year and getting a lot more attention than he did at Washington. Those G5 teams go and play the P5 teams. They get the attention. People like what they see. And I think that's a fine situation for Peter Castelli. I think Utah fans hope that he doesn't go somewhere in the Pac-12. But look, if he goes to Arizona, so be it. Like, yeah, you're going to have to play against him, but this is a juggernaut team. Like, Peter Castelli's not going to be the flip-flopper. I'm not even going to mention that the fact that Utah took him over somebody else in state, because I think that ship has sailed. And it doesn't matter who Utah took that cycle. When they went and got Jaquindon Jackson and committed Nate Johnson and Brandon Rose, whoever was the odd quarterback out was going to transfer. So it is how it is. And it's also the scape of college football. Rewind it back a few years, Utah benefited from this very situation by getting Cam Rising in, and things broke in Utah's favor in terms of him getting injured. I don't think that was really in Utah's favor, but
it wasn't.
Yeah, because I think everybody would have much rather him play last year and then come into this year just being the starter rather than having to go through the whole Brewer experiment. And I'll let everybody else speculate offline about, or not on the podcast, about what might have been with that. It's just, it happened. I respect Peter. I think it's the right decision. I think the timing is right so that he can get into somewhere and talk to teams before early signing day so that they know that they can use him or add him to the roster. It's all about a numbers game. It's a tough situation for him because he has to leave his team right in the middle of the run. But he does have to make this move, and it doesn't really – I mean, it always hurts to lose a good player and a good talent, and especially a good athlete and a good kid. But it's not the worst end of the world situation. You know what I mean?
It's not. And also, he's got to do what's best for him.
Yes, he does.
At the end of the day, this is a kid's future we're talking about. He's 17, 18 years old. He's young. You got to think about this. Like, he packed up his life and moved to Utah. He might be homesick. He might be missing his parents, like, just in his family and his friends. And I think Utah fans are really good about, like, wherever a kid lands, like, wishing him the best and hoping that he succeeds and thrives.
Yeah. Here's the thing. No team is ever going to look look out for a player's interests over the team interests in terms of winning. And so players are forced to do that, I think, in the modern day. So good luck to Peter. That was a lot more than what I wanted to talk about it. But, it, you know, it's news. And I think it's one of those situations that the more you kind of break it down and really extrapolate it and think about it, it makes a lot of sense. And it's not the worst scenario for Utah. And like I said, I didn't see a ton of reaction other than just this whole like, well, they should have taken the other guy. And I mean, it was I don't know how many times I have to say it was just never going to happen, Utah. Like fans, like it wasn't. Just trust me on this. And I get why both sides are playing the way that they do, but just remember that everybody's out there building their brand. That being said, Utah's brand is getting recruiting commitments. They got one from a guy that I like at the wide receiver position, Ryan Pepins. Have you seen him play at all?
I have yet to.
So that's a homework assignment, right?
I told Brian before we recorded, I will be spending my Thursday watching film of him, like his highlights, because, you know, I do this with a lot of the guys that commit to the program. If I don't know them, I haven't seen them play live, I will go back and watch their highlights just to get a feel of how they play, who I can equate to them, just so Utah fans can have someone to latch on to. Because that's something that I really appreciated when I started getting into this business, was when I was learning about recruiting, is who is he similar to? Because then I can gauge what kind of play style he has. But yeah, I'm excited. Whenever we get wide receiver commitments, I get excited, because Utah gets few and far between. Over the last few years, the portal has been nice to us in that instance, especially this year. But if you really like him, I'm pretty sure I'm going to like him, because we like a lot of the same like things in football players.
So you talked about who your player was for a breakout game last week being Britton Covey. Pepins is a 5'8", 168-pound wide receiver that operates well out of the slot. He is an extremely twitchy guy. He has a lot of movement to his game, meaning that he can get loose. He has a lot of speed. He was committed to Western Kentucky. Before you kind of scoff at that, this recruiting cycle has gotten really bonkers, because there are so many guys that are popping very, very late in the cycle. He also had offers from Mississippi State, Virginia Tech, and Florida State. Well, sorry, not offers, but interest from those. Offers from Tulane, Troy, Mid-Ten State, Eastern Kentucky, Austin Peay, was committed to Western Kentucky. And a reminder that currently Western Kentucky is running one of the best offenses in college football with 43 passing touchdowns. So if this is a guy that was like, that Western Kentucky is like, hey, we can throw him the ball and he'll catch it and score touchdowns, that means that it's a good transition for Utah. Now, that being said, watching his film, I think he is a good athlete. So this is a good pickup, and Utah needs some wide receivers. You know, I have a feeling that we're going to see some of the tight ends and the wide receivers thin down, so you've got to get some replacements going in there. A good flip for Utah, and especially considering that he's coming right off a visit out here, right?
Oh, fantastic. That's huge. Like, I have always been really, really into recruiting, and I think that having like them getting it done like on a visit, fantastic. Because, you know, with the thing is like, I've noticed is with when Utah offers a kid, usually the masses like swoop in, and it's better to close the deal sooner rather than later. So that's my take on that.
And I think you're right on. They also had a decommitment in Jeffrey Ugo, a safety prospect from Texas. I'll just go ahead and say this. I don't know that that was entirely... it's so hard to say this. Right, when there are commitments, there are decommitments, there are two reasons for it. One, either the player is moving on or the team is moving on. I don't think a player would move on immediately after making an official visit. It's a tough situation, but that likely happens because a team feels like there's a better prospect ahead of them. The good thing with Utah is that they tell these kids up front, like, hey, this is where you're at. You know, we'll take your commitment. This is where you're at. This is where we have you. This is what we think about you. If there are players ahead of you, we're going to take them. So the players at least know. It's still a tough situation, though. We'll see what happens in the cycle. But that being said, I think this is a good sign of things to come.
Yeah. This cycle was weird, because at the beginning, like when Utah had like one or two commitments, like Utah fans we're always like, oh my God, like the sky is falling. We only have two commitments, which just happens every single year. And I should be used to it by now, but it's like, oh my God, we only have one or two commitments. This class is going to be not good and stuff. And then in the last 2 weeks, like it's been like hit after hit after hit. You know, you get Barton, you get Tavarachi, you get Johnson, you get Rose. Like, you've gotten all of these good pieces that things are finally starting to fall into place with this class. So that's what I wanted. Just like, Utah fans just need to trust the process when it comes to recruiting, because they're going to close the deal. Like, if they can, they're going to try and get as many of these kids that they want in the program into the program. So just trust the process. I know it's hard to say, like, just like take a deep breath, go smell some lavender and just hang out. Like, it's fine.
I don't even want to get into what your favorite essential oils are, but we'll save that for maybe an off season or a different episode where we have less to talk about. Sammy, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's always a joy to have you. I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving. Tell your wonderful family I said hello. I am thankful for your family. They bring a lot of joy to my life when I see them. Your mother is one of my favorite people. It was one of my first interactions with a Ute Zone subscriber.
She loves to tell that story. She loves it. She loves
that's
it.
That's good, because I was on the middle of nowhere and I said, can I give you a hug? And she's just probably like, who is this giant, sweaty, redheaded man? But that is very much me in that respect. So I appreciate her being so welcoming. Any Thanksgiving thoughts that you want to share before we shut this thing down?
I stand by my my statement on stuffing. But I'm thankful for Utah Athletics. I'm thankful for my Ute Zone friends. I'm thankful for Brian, who honestly could be an honorary Mora if we're talking like all things considered. Could be an honorary Mora. I'll talk to the folks. We'll report back on that one. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see Utah close things out this weekend. But yeah, if you want to hear my shenanigans and more of my bad food takes, you can hit me up on Twitter at @S_Mora99. All of my content is on UteZone.com. And I think that's it. I don't think I have anything else to plug.
Not yet anyways, right? We're just around the corner from gymnastics season starting. Yes. And we'll definitely be talking about that going forward. Sammy, thank you again so much for coming on the show. Thank you to everyone for listening. We will have a special Thanksgiving episode that will post later in the day. So if you don't see it Thanksgiving morning, just know it'll be a little different, though. So if you want to skip this one, I'm okay with it. But let's just say family business, and we'll leave it at that. Friday we'll have a Colorado breakdown and a primer with Cole Bagley, so stay tuned for all of those things. Finish this off reminding you to get all your daily Pac-12 news in less than 30 minutes with the Pac-12 expert Cindy Robinson, my girl. I was on Monday talking about Utah. We had a really fun discussion about Utah building their brand to try and be the flag bearer for the Pac-12 conference. So go give that a listen. I'll be on Friday as well. Make sure that you follow the Locked On Pac-12 podcast. It is free and available on all platforms as well. This has been the Locked On Utes podcast for November 24th, 2021. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.